everybody. Wendy Sellers here, the HR lady. I am here with my co-host, JC.
It is a pleasure to be back, and I am not the HR guy.
No, you're not.
No, I'm
not. It's so funny that you mentioned that. I had my brother here from out of town, just dropped him off at the airport, actually. And he was driving my car. My license plate is HR lady. And he's like, oh, man, I've been driving your car all week.
He's like, dude.
It says that I'm the HR lady.
Go with it. Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, maybe he doesn't understand how prestigious of a title that is, though. You know,
he's more the OSHA ISO guy than the HR lady. Anyways,
maybe Wendy, hang on though. Maybe he's just trying to connect with you on a different way. Is connecting with family different than connecting with coworkers?
Not really. It's all about connections, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I want to talk about how to connect with coworkers. I want to take this series of podcasts a little step further. And, you know, we usually talk just about how managers can work with their employees. But over the next five sessions, I want to talk about how just as a human, you can connect with other humans at work, whether they're your coworkers or your employees, if you're a manager. So we'll kind of take a little bit of a swing different here, because even as managers, we have to connect with other people that don't work for us directly, right?
All the time. Absolutely. Let it be in-house, out-of-house, or somewhere in between the houses.
In between the houses, absolutely.
That's right.
Or in my case, the RV. So for folks that don't know, I actually live in my RV and have been doing so for well over 6 years and absolutely love it. And even with that, there's people I still need to connect with to get things done.
Yeah.
You know, at work, we spend well over 2,000 hours a year, and that's if you have a light schedule, with coworkers. So we really need to learn how to connect with them on a human level, because, you know, that H in HR is human. These people that we work with are actual humans that have things going on in their lives, and that can affect how we get our work done, or unfortunately how we don't get our work done.
Absolutely, Wendy. Absolutely. And look, by building those relationships with the coworkers, you could create a more open and collaborative work environment, and that could ultimately lead to better communication and more efficient problem solving amongst your teams. Hands down.
Yeah, people don't want to hate coming to work, man. They want to, whether it's virtually or whether it's in person, they want to say, you know what, I owe my coworker something today, or I owe it to another team member something. And even though I might be having a tough day, I'm on it because I respect that person because I have a connection with them. And that's what so much of work management really is building connections and motivating people to not hate coming to work. Maybe enjoy coming to work and saying, I really want to do things for these people that I'm working with, even if I'm having a bad day.
110%, my friend. And when those coworkers are connected, they feel like they're part of that supportive team. They're more likely to be engaged and motivated to contribute to the overall success. I'm with you on that.
It's all about the one thing is listening. Hey, folks, this works at home as well. That magical listening word. And we hear it at home probably more than we do at work. And maybe we should hear it more at work, where people say, you're not listening to me. We're not afraid to say it to the people we live with, but sometimes we're afraid to say it because of the consequences to folks that, you know, we work with. Now, I'm not saying run around at work and tell your coworkers or your managers, you're not listening to me, because you're just going to be coming off as rude. So you really need to focus on your own awareness, no matter what your role is, to say, all right, am I really listening to people? Am I, you know, too busy? Am I multitasking and therefore I'm inadvertently not listening? Or maybe I just don't love this person that's talking to me and I just stop listening. Well, I'm sure they affect your job somehow. So you need to start listening to coworkers and then really, really focus on your awareness. For me, when I'm distracted, which is almost always, I have to take notes. And that forces me to listen because I'm writing it down in my own words. And then I reread my words and I do that out loud and say, is this what you were trying to say to me? Because I have a hard time understanding.
You know, what's really interesting about that, even though you might be busy doing that, you're still providing those people your undivided attention. It's that brain physical connection where you, even though you're still writing it out or typing it out or whatever it might be, you are simply focused on them and that communication that's happening at that time. And that's really important to relationships. It is.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because this is one of the things that I say in my trainings when I get to this part in communication trainings about listening is, again, it's okay to take notes. It's okay to write things down. But, and there's always a but, many people will think that you're not listening to them. They may think you're doing something else. They may think you're texting somebody, that you're emailing somebody. So I like to always, first of all, especially if somebody is upset, is I close my laptop, flip over my phone so that I'm not distracted by technology. If I am using technology at all to take those notes, I show them. I go, hey, I just want to, I flip my screen around and show them the screen, say, want to let you know I'm taking notes because what you're saying is important and I want to make sure we follow up on this. Sometimes though, if somebody's really upset, I don't do that. I just say, okay, I'm going to have to try to jot some notes down on a piece of paper and figure out my chicken scratch later, or I'm just going to try to have to recap this at the end of this conversation and then quickly write it down at the end of the conversation. Because if somebody is upset, they really want you looking at them and truly, truly focusing on them.
And those human factors are going to go a long way into retaining your staff. And that retention, while connecting with coworkers, is going to help foster a culture of inclusivity and collaboration at the end of the day. Right, Wendy?
Absolutely. The whole moral of this is we need to learn to, you know, value relationships over meetings, over transactions, over, oh, this project's done.
Yeah.
Relationships help us get that project done. I don't care if you're the best engineer there is. You need somebody to help you some way, somehow. And it's so, so important to make sure that everybody's winning together, even when we lose sometimes. And valuing those relationships over transactions. All right, folks, to wrap up this section here, don't be afraid to be human. I want to talk about on our next episode how managers and human resources can help employees connect better. We'll see you in a minute. everybody. Wendy Sellers here, the HR lady. I am back with my co-host, JC.
Such a pleasure to be back, Wendy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I wouldn't want to do a podcast without you. And in fact, when I do them without you, for whatever the reasons, I'm kind of like, well,
they're terrible.
They suck.
Yeah, they're terrible. When you don't have
me
around.
Here.
No. I mean, sometimes you really do have some amazing guests, though, and those shows don't suck. But other times it's like, yeah, you need me by your side. And it's all right.
You know what? It's because we have a connection.
Aww.
And we figured out, you know, how to communicate with each other, our ebbs and flows. And that's so important at work, too. So for folks that are, you know, if you manage another human being, even if it's just a project manager, so you're not, you know, giving them reviews and things like that, or for those HR folks that are working or listening today, what I want to talk about is how you can help employees connect better and maybe how you can teach employees to connect better. We as HR and we as managers, we don't have to be responsible for every single piece of communication
ever. You don't?
No.
Oh, come on.
No. There's a lot put on HR managers.
It's all on your shoulders. It's all on you, right?
We, you know, should be responsible, though, for helping our team form bonds. We can't mandate it. We can't force it. So, and good luck trying that, right?
That, there's something really important I want to pin in on right here because it's instrumental to this entire discussion and conversation. Anyone who's listening to this program right now, you could have been an amazing person at work, in your human resource role, in your leadership positions and operations, wherever it may be. As time goes by and you evolve, you're moving from being that subject matter expert that was fantastic at doing the onboarding or whatever the case may be into more of a role of leadership. And sometimes you have to step out of being the subject matter expert to then be more the leader. And that's where the inclusivity and human connection is really going to come down to the ground and come to play. You can keep that tied together with your operational backbone and be a subject matter expert. There's no problem there. But fostering these skills we're about to talk about is going to definitely take you to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's, you know, many of us are working remote, too. So I want to touch on that in a moment. But before we jump into the remote aspect, I would hope that, you know, we're, what are we, 3 years into the pandemic almost? Yeah, right?
Yeah, I think it's 23 years at this point. I don't
23
know.
23 years, right? We're 23 years into the COVID pandemic. I'm kidding for anybody who thinks they're in a time warp right now. We're a couple years into the pandemic. And so that did force a lot of companies to go remote. I know many companies were remote before that, or at least roles were, but remote definitely has put a different swing on things. But whether you're remote or whether you're in person, again, you really should be, regardless of what your role is, you should be encouraging your employees to communicate with each other and collaborate so that they feel like a team and that we're in it to win it together. I, you know, like to do with my clients engagement events, fun events, you know, whether it's like a luncheon, you can do these with remote too. You just send the gift card or the lunch to the person's home, or let them expense their lunch. Ooh. Delivery.
Or virtual tic-tac-toe, or our most fun game around, pick on Blake. You just all get online and pick on the guy named Blake, right?
No, picking on anybody. That could end up being some kind of bias
Good
or
call.
Discrimination claim.
Oh, you definitely don't want to be a bias. Trust me.
No, we want to make sure that we're having fun. One thing that I personally do for my clients, I'm DISC certified, which is personality styles and personality. And I talk a lot about personality traits, but that alone, doing some kind of assessment and training with personalities, it opens up a whole, you know, bag of everything that people go, oh, yeah. Oh, I thought my coworker didn't like me, but it turns out their personality, you know, they're just really quiet or shy and I'm loud. So I'm intimidating them. And that's me. I can say that because I am loud and intimidating. And so I've learned to be like, okay, Wendy, you need to downplay your personality. You need to really just, here's a bag of shush, hang on to it for a minute.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
But people's personalities have a huge effect. And so just learning them as a manager, even if you're not going to do training for your entire team, which I encourage you to do, it's a lot of fun, brings people closer together, but learn your employees' personalities, their traits, and say, okay, now I need, I, the whoever I am, whether I'm a manager, HR, just a coworker, I need to adjust to somebody else's personality. I can't expect them to adjust to mine. And then this is the most magical thing that happens, JC, is when you teach them that, they start adjusting to yours. So you're adjusting to them. They're adjusting to yours, and you're like, oh wow, we're suddenly getting along and getting things done. You don't have to be best friends.
You have the power, right? Of positive intention, and you could do very good things in your world. You create your own reality, and the people around you will also pin in on that and move forward. Like Wendy said, encourage employees to share their thoughts and ideas and concerns openly and honestly. It's going to help build trust and create a more collaborative and supportive work environment, and make sure that all employees feel welcomed and valued, regardless of their background or their identity. That's really important here. It can help create a sense of belonging and improve a team cohesion and foster that culture of inclusivity. And ultimately, like she's saying, encourage the employees to form friendships. Friendships with the coworkers. It can help create a more positive and supportive work environment. They don't have to be besties where they're hanging out all the time, Netflix and chilling. But at the same time, it's good to know each other and be cordial and at least, you know, foster a general friendship at the same time. It definitely helps in the remote environment.
Yeah, and the remote environment is so important, and it always has been. I'm reading this article on Microsoft.com, actually, and they did an assessment of from the beginning of the pandemic moving forward, and they kept surveying their employees to see how connected they felt to each other, to the project, to the company, to the mission and vision. And the more remote, the longer they went remote, because they just started doing remote, they started, you know, being less and less and less connected. Well, folks, HR that's listening here, and managers, that's a huge concern, because if people are not feeling connected, they're not necessarily going to go the extra mile, and not even the extra mile, just go the mile to get things done. And when some other company comes and says, hey, I'm interested in your resume, you want to come work for us, they're not going to say no, because I have a team that I'm connected to and I don't want to leave them. And so if for any reason you're not thinking, oh, this isn't important to me, Retention is so important.
Yeah, at the same time, while you were looking at that, Wendy, I've got one pulled up here from MIT Management Sloan School, and they really start to pin in on one-on-ones. And they start to emphasize about structuring that one-on-one time so that it's helpful and it appears and is perceived helpful and not misconstrued as micromanagement. Very important, especially in the remote workforce, right? And utilizing that time is like basically a safe space where you could have that zone where you have one-on-one time with the employee to just, you know, put all the other work aside. And let's just focus on you and me, and let's connect right now. It's very important to do on a regular basis.
Your connection is so important. Folks, if you're saying, what's the one thing that I can do to help people feel connected? And this is going to sound interesting. Let them have a life outside of work. So if you give them work-life balance, they're going to feel more connected to the team, because they're going to get a good night's sleep. They're going to say, okay, now I'm in, and now I get to go home and come back tomorrow and start all over. Also, you want to get them passionate for the work, which means you may need to explain, oh, I don't know, when there's changes going on, when there's new clients, you know, how we get new clients, the behind the scenes information. I was just having this conversation yesterday that actually with my brother, who is a business consultant, and he found out new information from a manager of his. It was just regarding expenses and budgeting. And he's like, why didn't you tell me this a year ago? Oh, I don't know, we just don't share this information. He's like, oh my God, this is a game changer. If I knew this, I would have done things so differently. And he didn't do anything wrong, but he's like, I could have done things better. Yeah. And so share information with your team about as much as possible. We obviously can't share everything, right? We want to make sure that we are sharing as much as we can. All right, we're coming up at the end of this session here. When we come back in session 3 of 5 here, I want to talk about a little bit more about the remote workers, and then also about town halls, or whatever you might call them, but town halls. So we'll be back in a minute. everybody. Wendy Sellers here, the HR lady. We are here today talking about connecting with coworkers. JC, what do you have for me?
Oh, I'm tired. You and I, we were just in that town hall meeting. I hate those, don't you? I'm kidding. I enjoy town halls and group meetings. I really do. But sometimes, Wendy, they can come off in a really, really, really bad and strange way. And yes, there could be a disconnect of communication, actually.
So you, some companies just call these like all hands meeting. You might call them something else.
Jazz hands meetings.
They do not call them that.
It keeps it fun though when you're in person or virtual. Turn your camera on. Well, it's the jazz hand. No, it's all hands. I know all my hands are up. They're shaking.
For some personalities, that's fun. So for some other personalities like mine, I have to do everything I can not to roll my eyes. But some personalities, they'll be like, oh, this is awesome. This is amazing. Other people are like, let's get to the point. You're wasting my time here.
Right. Meet me at Disney later for slushies. No, we're going to a piano bar for cocktails. This is not funny. Yeah, two sides
of the
coin.
Whatever you call them, all hands meeting or you know, town hall meetings, some of them can be very, very productive if done right. Yeah. Now, if you're one of those companies that say you're going to come to this town hall meeting, whether it's virtual or in person, and you're just going to sit there and listen and we're going to talk at you, then they're going to be ineffective. So yes. And if you're just giving them only negative news or you're reading from a script, they're going to be ineffective. And so if you have a lot of changes going on in your organization, which most people do all the time anymore, you know, town hall meetings can bring everybody together physically or virtually for people, the employees, to submit questions. I personally like to have the people submit questions ahead of time so that the executive team can prepare the answers ahead of time, right?
Well, and that, then it definitely makes you feel like you're connected then, Wendy, because you're being heard. You know, you want to ask questions, you want to hear the answers, and then, you know, if they're not brought forth in a satisfactory manner, that they might not feel like it was productive, worthwhile, or a total waste of their time. You're exactly right.
Right. If 90% of your employees are asking about budget and raises and you don't address that in the company meeting, then you don't even have the meeting because they're going to be like, this is what we're here for. Like, just tell them why you can't do raises. And now, is it going to be a fun experience? Absolutely not. Is it going to be transparent? Yes. Are people going to possibly put one leg out the door and start looking for other, other jobs? Possibly, but they may also say, hey, my company's being transparent. This is what they're doing to, you know, maybe raise more revenue so that they can help us.
Yeah.
When it goes into, you know, what we're dealing with around this time of the year is, you know, layoffs. And so if people are doing, your company is doing layoffs, even if it's just three people, be transparent about, okay, this is the last of the layoffs until we address our budget again in 6 months. That, and this is what we're doing and this is why the layoffs occurred.
That transparency, that form of communication is a form of actual engagement because you're engaging the minds of the individuals that you're communicating with. You're not just talking at them, you're talking with them. You're even though they might not have words coming out of their mouth back to you, you're connecting with their mind. You're engaging at a different level. It enhances motivation and participation at the end of the day because your transparency sets you apart from the rest, hands down. Sorry, I had to add that, Wendy.
No, that's fine. It really, your town halls need to be informative, not boring, not same stuff, different day, not a script, and they need to be participative. Like I said, you know, you need to have that microphone ready and have somebody running around the room answering allowing people to ask questions and then be prepared to answer them. And if you don't have the answer, then just tell them, I don't have the answer to that. However, I will have the answer in 2 weeks and we're going to send out a video or have another town hall meeting. But the other thing it really needs to be, even when it's negative news, it needs to be inspiring. If you're only focusing on bad news, if you're only calling town halls when bad things are happening, people aren't going to want to attend and they're going to, again, be unengaged and unproductive and have one foot out the door, if not two, looking for a new job. So town halls can help, you know, companies and employees build connections because you could also be doing things like, you know, a kudos and awards and things like that there. That's another podcast for another time, talking about awards and kudos.
You know, what's interesting about all this, though, is the regularity of it all, though, too. Like, if you're doing them infrequently, you're not establishing a baseline where people could grow from. But if everyone knows that, you know, every other month we're going to get together with the CEO and he's going to tell us everything that's shaken down. In a very casual manner where we're connecting, but it's core business. Fantastic. And then on the months that are in between, we're still getting together, but we're bringing someone in like the HR lady. And we're going to spend 1 hour together talking about something related to core business and new topics and learn together. I don't know. I like frequency. I like building repetition like that. And I personally believe that it really helps the mindset of the workforce to keep people on track in that manner. What do you think?
No, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you on that. And, you know, the final thing I wanted to say about town halls is, yes, it's cuts into the day-to-day work, right? But if you can build the town halls so that your employees actually have time to interact before and after, yeah, you know, chit chat, have that cup of coffee, beer, wine, whatever it might be, eating lunch together, even in the virtual aspect where you can have, you know, chats open or you're using Microsoft Teams, whatever it is. And you're maybe, and I hate to say the word force, but you're saying, hey, we have 100 employees. We're going to have 10 chats open and we're going to have 10 employees in each of those chats. And this is what we want you all to talk about. And then you're going to come back and report out or something like that, so that you're kind of forcing people to chit chat either about a work project or, you know, whatever they did over their favorite vacation ever, something like that.
You're starting to hit a nail on the head of something I wanted to bring up to you. And I love the fact that it seems like a natural progression. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. You're doing it online. You're on the line. You're using the internets. It was invented by Al Gore, renamed by George Bush. There's magical things happening there. So you're in the computer box. You're doing all this stuff. You're pulling your friends up on the screen. Look, there's a reason it's the magic computer box. I know it sounds funny, but it's magic. You turn your camera on. You can still see other people. Ensure you have enough bandwidth during your town hall meetings to make sure that the people, let it be in breakout rooms or during the entire session, have the ability to have those cameras on, have the face-to-face interaction. It's going to take that remote workforce to a totally different level, being able to communicate, to connect with the physical body language of another individual.
You could also do, let's just say you're doing monthly team town halls, or maybe they're, you know, just departments or something like that.
Ooh, yeah,
you can
yeah.
have fun with it. You can, you know, have goofy hat day or something like that. And then people will be able to tune in and look at their coworkers and their goofy hats. Now, some people like myself don't necessarily love that. I have a hat on right now. It is very blah and plain. But, you know, I know that I need to suck it up, buttercup, and participate. And then I end up having fun afterwards. So for the people that are, you know, not necessarily the Debbie Downers, but they're just like, hey, that's not my cup of tea. I just want to get my work done. You might need to talk to them separately and say, hey, you're an integral part of this team, and I want you to participate because people really are attracted to you and they want to connect with you, and this will help with that. Go ahead, JP.
Question for you right away. Now, talking about your big teams and your meetings and everything that you're talking about right here, the workforce is vast, diverse, and it's all over the place in the remote world now. And you also might have different time zones. And if we're talking the U.S., it could be anywhere from what, the Virgin Islands to Guam? Like, you really got to pick a time of day that's like convenient for everybody, right?
Yeah, I would say, for any of our listeners that are out on the West Coast of the United States, those people out there, I have a lot of friends out there and clients as well. They're used to being early birds to adjust to the East Coast time. And I have to say, when I was traveling out there last year, I was like, oh, I'm going to have to get used to it. But oh, I loved it because getting up early,
yeah,
then I had like a whole day off almost.
Yeah, it's
not
wild,
really,
right?
But like, wow, I didn't just come home, have dinner, and have to go to bed. We get off at 3 o'clock because we started at 6 a.m. So, you know, it's not for everybody, but thank you for bringing up the time zones. The one last thing I want to say about that, about the town halls or, you know, whatever you want to call them, the monthly or quarterly sessions, is try not to always focus it around holidays because not everybody celebrates the same holidays.
Ooh,
so,
true.
You know, we're in the we're in the November, December, January holiday season, and there are a ton of holidays in this season for many different religions and non-religions. And so just be careful so that you don't end up, not even discriminating against, but just pushing people away because you're not accepting them.
110%, right. Wendy, real quick. Look, December 21st, it was crossword puzzle day. A lot of people didn't celebrate,
I know a lot of people that do crosswords, and it's supposed to be really, really good for your brain and your memory. So maybe I need to do that because I feel like my memory's sliding a little bit, which is why I have post-it notes all over my wall right here. All right, folks, we'll be right back to continue this conversation. And I want to talk about, for those of you that may not have a great manager, what you can do.
Ooh, don't threaten me with a good time. See you soon.
Hey, everybody. Wendy Sellers here, the HR lady. I am here with JC.
It's a pleasure to be back, Wendy. Thank you.
We're talking about how to connect with coworkers no matter what your role is. Today, in this episode, I want to talk about the fact that, hey, maybe my manager is not great, but I still want to connect with my teammates anyways. How can you help me? Yeah. How can I help you? How can I talk? We can't always pick our managers. So we have to make change from where we stand, including, connecting with coworkers. And then if you have a great connection with your coworkers, or even just a good connection with your coworkers, then maybe your not so great manager will be a little more tolerable.
Oh, absolutely. Look, it can be very challenging to work with a manager who's not supportive or effective, but it's important to remember that you can still make positive impact on your team and your work environment, even if your manager's not supportive. You really can.
One of the biggest ways that you can connect with your team, let's face it, we're mostly in an email world, right? I mean, many companies, not all. I mean, the companies that you know, like construction and manufacturing, they don't use technology to communicate. It's usually face to face. So that one's a little bit different, those type of companies. But for the rest of the companies, so many times the only way we communicate with our coworkers is emails or instant messages or text or something like that. So what I encourage you to do is reply directly to people and as soon as possible when they email you, even if it's just to say, I don't have the answer. I'm not going to have the answer for 4 more days, but I will get back to you. And in fact, I'm going to send you an appointment right now so that we could connect at that time.
That's awesome.
There's nothing worse than people do not respond to your emails or your messages. I have that going on right now with a vendor, a personal, and actually a repair person. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this person only responds when he has the answer, like the positive answer I'm looking for. I'm like, I just want to know if you're still alive and working on my account. That's right. All I want right now.
Yeah. Or should I move on to someone else? And you know, that reinforces positivity and the efforts to be positive and let that be a positive influence on your interaction with a vendor or the positive influence that you could have on your team. And that's even if your manager is not supportive, you know, it might involve being proactive and offering assistance to coworkers when needed or simply maintaining positivity and supportive attitudes in your forms of communication. And just like you exemplified, Wendy, setting that calendar event, what's that, 4, 5, 6 days in advance, however many days in advance. Let's think about it real quick. You're a corrections officer. You've got people in jail that are not doing too hot, but you're doing everything you can to support them. Mm-hmm. And all they want to do is know when their court date is coming up. You have the power and capability to very simply say, look, I'm going to look into that and let me get the answer back to you. Their lawyers might not be getting back to them. Other people might not be helping them out, but you have the opportunity to do that. You could transcend that into any industry across the board. Positive communication. Wendy Sellers with the amazing tips. I'm not going to forget that one. I want to tell you.
Positive is so important, even during a negative time. I had something happen this week. Again, it wasn't work related, but it was not a great experience. And somebody that I was talking it through with, like, you know, lost their mind. Oh, those people are jerks. Da, da, da. And I'm like, nah, I don't think so. I said, I know them. They're not jerks. I think they just made a mistake or they didn't inform me. And then I went back to the people that I was upset with and I handled it calmly. And they were like, no, remember you told us this. And I'm like, okay, I think there was a miscommunication. What you told me was this. I told you, yep, no problem. But I didn't understand the effects of that. You know, it was in the end, it was both of our faults that something negative happened. We've got it resolved. But if I went after these people like you screwed this up or whatever, do you think they want to help me?
That right there is a testament to open communication, though, my friend. It really is. And you being open and communicative, that's ultimately at the end of the day, building trust. And it's going to create a more collaborative and supportive work environment for whatever the relationship is. You're like a pro.
I try to practice what I preach in my personal life. It's a lot easier in business, but it's not always in my personal life. And I feel like really since the beginning of the pandemic, when we really had to, you know, grab that mirror and look like, hey, am I part of some of this problem in the world? I really try, but I screw up all the time. You know what I said to somebody the other day? The way you really learn is to screw up royally and say, whoops, I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
And so, folks, you know, if you are, again, no matter if you're HR, if you're a manager, or if you are just saying, I'm not a manager, I'm a coworker, my manager's not great, but I still want to have good relationships with my coworkers. Communication is key. Following up is key. Checking in on people. When somebody asks a question maybe in a meeting, and even though it wasn't directed at you, but you have the answer, go to them afterwards and say, hey, I know you had that question and it didn't seem like you understood. Let me sit with you virtually or in person and explain how I learned it. And then maybe give them your cheat sheets or whatever it is. They're going to go, wow, you went out of your way to help me. But in the end, helping you is really helping me.
This is all ultimately going to have impact on your mental health, physical health, right, Wendy?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, mental health, definitely. And then your mental health does 100% affect your physical health. And in fact, we have an upcoming podcast on mental health. And so stay tuned for that one specifically, so we don't go down a rabbit hole on that conversation right now. One other thing that I did want to say is, since we were talking about the virtual world, if you ever have the opportunity as a remote worker to meet other remote workers in person, please make sure you do that. Even if it's just a one-on-one Zoom or a one-on-one meetings, that say, hey, I know we're always on these team meetings together, but I've never got to talk to you one-on-one. And so it could be something silly that you're just like, you know, you have a question, but you're like, you know what, yeah. Let's just get on a 5-minute Zoom or a 10-minute Teams so that I can ask you this. And then you just go, oh, I hear a dog in the background. What kind of dog do you have? You talk about people's pets, they just light up. Talk about their kids, they might light up. Their pets, they light up.
Yeah.
But now you have a connection to say, oh, I used to have a dog like that. Or, yeah, I have a dog and it's going through a treatment. And now you have some empathy and sympathy going on. And now you have some connection that was more than just being in a group or on a team chat. Does that make sense?
Absolutely does. Yeah, my dog like that just died. And then now the conversation took a turn. I'm kidding. Don't.
Jeez. Look,
ladies and gentlemen, remember, if you can't change your manager's behavior, you can still be a positive impact on your team, your work environment, and simply focus on your own actions, your attitude, and supporting your coworkers. That's all my thoughts on this one, Wendy. Back over to you. We're nearing the close.
We're going to wrap up this episode and move on to episode 5, our final session of communicating with coworkers. And what I want to talk about is some of those coworkers that are nightmares. We'll see you soon. Hey everybody, Wendy Sellers here, the HR lady with JC.
Aloha.
We have been talking about how to connect with coworkers, regardless of your role, manager, HR, or somebody that doesn't manage people. Why? Because we work with these other humans thousands of hours a year, and it would be nice if we could at least get along, have some connection. My coworkers have my back, you have their back, and ta-da-da, everything's great. We attract and retain awesome staff, and we get things done. What I want to talk about in this final section, though, is about those coworkers that are a nightmare. How do we work with them without losing our minds?
Carefully, by setting boundaries and keeping them as far away from your mental sanity as possible. Would that be right?
Yes.
It was? Let's
face it, though. We can't pick our coworkers, and we can try to avoid them, but we're not going to be able to avoid people forever because they're there for a reason, whether you believe it or not. They're there for a reason. You're there for a reason. You're on this team and this project together for a reason. And so instead of, going all around them and avoiding them, I want to talk about some tips to help you deal with the negative coworkers. And JC, we've already touched on some already. It's basically about, putting yourself in their shoes. And the only way you can do that is, unfortunately, get to know them. So that means you need to maybe go for a brisk walk, have a coffee or a sedative and say, okay, I have to go deal with this person. So I need to form a connection with them. I need to, for me, I like to say, I need to get to know them on a personal level, if possible. Not everybody's going to want to get to know you, just because it's they're super private.
Yeah.
And if I can't break through on that, like, okay, what can I do to help them? Let me give them something that they need, and then maybe that will at least give us some kind of bond. What other tips do you have to deal with negative coworkers?
Set your boundaries. Establish clear boundaries with your coworkers, particularly if you feel like they're taking up too much of your time and energy. Those energy vampires will get you. Communicate openly and honestly. If you're having issues with a coworker, try to just be open and honest about what your concerns are. Bring things to the table. Be genuine. And look, seek support. If you're struggling to manage a difficult coworker, consider seeking support. Let it be from your manager or HR. Everyone's there to help you out in the process, and take care of yourself. It's important to prioritize your own well-being. And working with difficult coworkers is really, really hard sometimes. Wendy, I've got an example of a difficult coworker story here that I'd like to share with you.
No names, please.
But I'll read this off and let you decipher, analyze, and put your HR lady flavor on it. Quote, I started working at a new co-working space, and it turns out that not one, but two of the guys I work with, I met on Tinder. I ghosted one of them, and they ghosted me. What's the best part? We all agreed to pretend that we didn't know each other, and it's been going on for months. But the room is very small. I'm having a hard time avoiding them at the coffee machine every morning. End quote. Back to you.
Yeah, internet dating. Okay, then. Well, I don't know. Maybe don't ghost people in the future. Maybe what you can learn from there is, like, you know what? I might run into these individuals in real life, and I might need to tell them, instead of just ghosting them, I might need to say from now on, hey, you know, it was great meeting you, but I just don't think we're going to work, whatever it might be. So I think you can probably find a podcast on dating advice for that, folks. So we'll leave you there. But you know what we talked about earlier about listening. If you have a negative coworker, you really need to, you know, put your game face on. Take a few deep breaths. Again, for some of you, that might also be a sedative too. But you need to listen to them and make them feel heard, because they may be negative because they have a point, and a really good point. Like, nobody listens to me. I've been saying this for 3 months and nobody's listening to what's wrong with the project or the product. If somebody would just listen, then you will all understand what I'm trying to say, and that we can fix this if you just listen to me. And here's the thing, if they're right, if they're saying I have the fix, but nobody's listened to them, I'd be negative too.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you know what? I don't want to be part of this team. I'm not part of this team. You're not listening to me.
Right.
Well, I'm not listening to you because you're negative Nelly all the time. But they, you know, you just have to kind of look around that and say, okay, they're negative Nelly. However, they have a really good point. And for me personally, whether I'm HR, whether I'm a manager, or whether I'm a coworker or just another human being, I don't love this conversation, but I have it often, even with, you know, people in my friend groups, to say, hey, I just want to talk to you about what happened yesterday or in that meeting. From my perspective, this is how I felt. This is how your tone and your language made me feel. And I was very uncomfortable there. But I don't say it like, you're a jerk, and you know, you talk like this all the time, because then I'm attacking them. They're not going to listen.
Yeah.
So that's when you use those I statements. This is how I felt, versus you. So food for thought there. But making the employee feel heard may turn them around to say, okay, I still am not happy. I'm still feeling negative, but I'm going to take these approaches in a different manner. And sometimes coming from a coworker, it's taken more seriously than coming from a manager or HR. However, as JC said, you have to draw the line at some point. And if you are not a manager, you shouldn't be expect it to fix all the coworkers' problems, because that's not your job. So I don't want you to walk away from today saying, oh, well, Wendy, the HR lady, said, you know, I have to fix all coworkers' problems. If you're a person that feels confident in doing that, you know, I would say we're humans, we're adults, let's give it a shot And then if it still doesn't work, say, okay, I got to bring this to a manager if I have a good manager, or another manager if my manager's not great, or HR, or if HR is not great, because let's face it, a lot of them aren't, is maybe bringing it up even higher. Say, I have issues and I need help with this. And if I don't have help with this, I can't work on this team. And usually that's when these days they'll say, oh my God, we're almost going to lose somebody. We have to do something.
When an employee is upset about something at work, take that moment to hear what they have to say. They might be down because they don't think anyone's understanding them at that moment. And your active listening could pay dividends far beyond that moment in time. And if you pay attention to them and try to understand what they're going through and show a shred of empathy, it might help them feel better about what's going on. And it could help them feel less bad overall and like they're fully more part of the team, like Wendy said. But look, stay professional, set your boundaries, and know that there's other resources out there to help in that situation, exactly like she said. Totally reinforcing your words there, Wendy. Love it.
Thank you. I like that. One of the things that I just want to kind of remind everybody is, you know what, we're all in this together. Even if you go to another company, you're going to deal with coworkers that maybe, you know, aren't always super positive. We don't need everybody to be jumping for joy at their job, but we want to make sure that we make the environment as comfortable as possible so that everybody comes back to work. We get our work done. We go home, spend our time with our family or whatever we do in our spare time. And kumbaya, life is good. Wouldn't that be great?
It would be. And you know what? To that, you do have a certain level of power and control over your world. You do at the end of the day. And if you desire, simply distance yourself from negative situations. You don't have to die on every molehill. You don't. You know, some battles just don't need to be fought. Or maybe you don't need to be in that particular situation. So if it's a work accommodation, if you need to change desks, if you need to move teams, if you need to whatever the instance is, provide a solution while you're bringing up the problem at the same time. From the employee perspective, from the employer perspective, and the manager's perspective, think about the bigger picture of it all. We don't need the negativity. Just fire that bad employee.
If it is a bad employee, and if it is a negative employee, I know you were just being,
facetious.
Coy there. But,
facetious but, and coy. But yeah, there's something
yeah,
to that,
but
though,
no,
right?
I 100% agree. If you have somebody who's negative, even though they're a great producer of work, but they're bringing everybody down, and I wouldn't recommend just firing them because they're negative, but I would recommend coaching them and explaining to them in terminologies and in a manner that they understand of how they're affecting other people. And if they, you know, don't improve their behavior and their attitude, that they're not going to be able to be on this team, and that they're not going to get transferred to somewhere else in the company, because we don't want that negativity there as well. Now, we don't always know what happens in people's home life or how they were raised, or, you know, if they were in an abusive situation. And so they may not have ever been informed of this before. So just don't think you can say to somebody, stop being negative and they're going to come back to work. You may need to provide them with coaching, counseling, and even mental health counseling as well. And that's what your health insurance is for. That's what, if you have health insurance and if you have an employee assistance program, that's what that is for too. Use it in order to connect with your coworkers, and especially if you're a manager or HR, and make sure that you're there to bring a positive light to the entire work experience for everybody, even if your best performer happens to be a jerk.
Having a bad attitude at work, it could hurt your career just as much as doing a bad job. It really can. And we all slip into bad modes every now and then. And look, a lot of employers think that a bad attitude could also be equated to the same as bad behavior, especially in today's workforce that's evolving and changing. You could be held responsible, even if your work is technically fine. And if you do have that bad attitude, you really might get fired. You really could. It just comes down to the way things come together. Behavior problems are one of the main reasons why people get fired at the end of the day. Employers usually have the right to fire an employee with a bad attitude or doesn't follow the company rules. But it's best to try to fix the problem first, just like what Wendy's telling you today. Employees, though, they have to be talked to. They have to be warned. And you may potentially have to put them on a plan as well to change that behavior. And if the employee isn't making any progress or refuses to change their behavior, this could be a reason just to part ways and promote them to customer. Something to consider.
The one final good thing I wanted to say before we wrap this up is and this is kind of, it's going to sound mean, but listen, everybody's hiring. I don't even, you know, even though there's going to be layoffs going on and things like that, people are hiring everywhere, not only in the United States, around the world for remote workers. So don't feel bad if you've done the right thing and you have to remove somebody from the team, because they're probably going to find a new job pretty quickly elsewhere. And so don't feel guilty about removing a negative person from your team. With that said, these past five shows were about connecting with coworkers. Why? Because we spend thousands of hours with them a year.
Thousands.
And we should, literally thousands. And we should, at a minimum, not hate working with them. At a maximum, love working with our team, mm-hmm. so that we can get stuff done.
That's right.
Thanks for coming, everybody. See you in the next episode.